Happy Good Friday to y'all. Happy Good Friday. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the night. I know I'm a little bit late. Yeah, whatever. Welcome to the show. You already know it is your girl, Miss Nadia, and this is Nadia's World. We have quite a smorgasbord to get through to. So, yes, it is Easter weekend. Again, I know it is early this year. Very, very strange. Usually Easter is usually either the second or third week in April, but I guess we kicked it up a notch. So yes, to all you guys, just getting your Easter plans together, getting the baskets, getting the bonnets, going to church, getting the hair did, the nails done. I mean, come on with it. Getting the haircuts, whatever suit, tie, dress, whatever you prefer. I know tis is the time for the season. And most importantly, for those who don't know, Easter is my favorite holiday. I grew up with the big dresses, the shoes, the baskets, the bonnets, all the thrills, the Easter dinner. Everybody came over, the egg decoration, the baskets, the plethora of candy. I mean, my grandmother made so many Easters memorable. And I tried to do that with my little one as well. So, yeah, I miss those times. But, hey, what can you do? So, anyway. Like I said, we have quite a lot to talk about. So I'll give y'all the rundown. Earlier this week, we know that Diddy's homes got raided by the feds. All three of his homes, New York, California, and Florida. Which happened, his boys were there at, I think, the California home. It got raided. We're definitely going to get into a little bit of that. Cowboy Carter. Mm-hmm. The new album from Beyonce dropped earlier today. And let's just say that she came in on the Chitlin circuit and brought a little friends along. And brought a couple of friends along. She has artists on the album. Pretty much up and coming country artist. She also did tracks with her with Post Malone, Miley Cyrus, and she even did a throwback to good old Dolly P. Mm-hmm. We know Dolly P's song, Jolene. Yes. So she remade that. We'll definitely get into a little bit of that also. And Quiet on the Set. Let's just say it ain't quiet no more. It has been making, that documentary has been making a lot of noise since it debuted. I'm not even gonna hold you. And they're coming out with a part five. So I'm gonna keep you posted. They're coming out with a part five of all those episodes that was aired in a two night, four part. Now it's going to be a five-part documentary, so let's go. And yes, it's been making noise since the debut, and a lot of viewers have been sounding off, and let's just say the cast from there have been making a lot of noise, and I think it's more to follow and more to come. So we're going to get into that in a little bit, but yes, also, just letting you guys know on a sad note, yeah, I know I hate to break bad news to you, but I got to, Earlier today, you guys know the actor himself. He has a wide range when it comes to movie and television. Y'all know Louis Gossett Jr. passed away today at the age of 87. We remember him getting an Oscar for being Best Supporting Actor from, I think, Officer and a Gentleman, if I'm not mistaken. That was with Richard Gere. I think that was back in the 80s. We do remember him paying Fiddler from Roots. So yes, rest in peace to Louis Gossett Jr. Okay. There's a couple of other things I have to get to y'all, so hopefully I get through this. If I don't, y'all gonna hear in the next episode. But yeah, we're just getting all this out. Okay. So earlier this week, on Tuesday, the feds got word or got probe about Diddy pretty much doing a sex traffic. Now, let's just say we know Mr. Sean Diddy Combs is, his life is going down, as we already know. I mean, it's already gone down, and a lot of people are weighing in on it, on certain topics and things of that nature. You know, Mr. Stevie J want to put the pause on 50. 50 is talking about people, his former child's mom, who was a sex worker. She's going back, giving him legal action. It's just a lot. You could say people are divided on this issue, and then, as they say, once the other shoe drops, the other one is going to fall after that. So I'm not talking in riddles. I'm just trying to make sure I have all my facts straight before I give it to you guys, because there's more to come out of this. Now, what we do know was all three of his houses, including the one here in New York, the one in California, and I think Florida. He was also detained because he was hitting the islands. Okay. But the one that we saw in California was definitely being raided by the feds. They had his sons detained. They were handcuffed. They were outside. That was Christian and Justin. Quincy wasn't there, and neither were his daughters, the twins, or Chance. So, but his other two sons were there. Now, from what it seemed, that they were being detained, and once the police and the feds were done with their investigation, they let the boys go. Do I think that his boys should have been caught up in that or whatever happened? It was very disheartening to see them outside, you know, not able to go in. They didn't know probably what was going on or had any prior information or any privy to it. And it was also kind of side-eyed that he was somewhere else, and I don't even know if he made it back in time, but he did. There has been sightings of him pretty much today. He was pretty much with his girls, going out with them, doing stuff. And his son Christian also sent a message about people capping, you know, all the lies. If y'all don't know what capping is, I just think that in this whole situation, as stuff unfolds, if I was him, and he also hired a powerful lawyer too, I would definitely kind of, I wouldn't be off the grid, but I would just be around my children and just keeping out of the light for a little bit, especially if I'm really like, the stakes is high. Because with Diddy at this particular point, I'm not even going to say he's a pawn, but he is. And there's a lot of people that are not speaking or talking. And he's one of those who are not talking, but he holds all the pieces of the puzzle for everybody. And I'll say like this, if he starts to crack, if he shows signs of crackage, oh, it's going down. It's going down. This year, if y'all haven't learned this year, I'm telling you, it is the accountability blue check is out. I mean, folks is really getting held accountable. Like, they going down like the Titanic, okay? It's not getting weird. It's just getting real, okay? Because folks are being held accountable this year. I don't know what's going on, the turn of the tide, but I'm here for it all, of the accountability, because we've had so many things swept under the rug, so many things lied about, so many things, so many people just tossed to the wind or not even here anymore. And it's time to get real. It's time to be held accountable. It's time to put the responsibilities. It's time for people to stop being scapegoats and get those who are the real, who are the real master puppeteers behind it. Just saying. Because something ain't right. And now, folks, you're not hearing rattles and rumblings. You're hearing people actually come out and say, like, yeah, about that. This is why I kind of turned the other way. Now, as for certain people coming and speaking out, I'm going to say it like this. If you are going to speak out and say things, just make sure whatever you're saying is legitimate. Let's just say it has facts. Let's say it has evidence, and you weigh everything. Because again, you just can't go saying that they're trying to bring him down and blah, 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 and all this, all that. I understand that the kids have nothing to do with the involvement, but as a child, you are going to stick with your parent. I'm not saying that's all you know, but you still have to understand what's right from wrong. Even if they have misfumbled and misguided you on what, you know, taking responsibility and accountability is for and learning right from wrong, you know right is right, wrong is wrong. So again, until you find out the truth, you're going to stick by your parent. But until then, you know, you got to weigh all your options. So I just think that once people start kind of getting on or jumping on the bandwagon, it's kind of like you need to kind of sit back and let everything play out. Then that's when you need to come. But don't sit here and make it seem like he's the righteous one and the righteous one from the get-go. No, he's not. He's not. He's not at all. Because a lot of things with Diddy are definitely not even questionable. They're like WTF. Because it's like, how in the world, after everybody around you done transpired, I'm not even talking, some have been mysterious, some have been serious, some have been oblivious, and we can't even talk about the other things. It's like all these parties you had trying to celebrate Black excellence and, you know, upperclassmen and all this stuff. Has that all just been a ploy to have you do things? You've been questioned about your sexuality. You've been questioned about how you deal with your artist, how you dealt with your record company, how you are as a person to get to where you are. I mean, a lot of things have been pulled into question. So for those who want to speak on it, I'm just saying, make sure you weigh all the facts, all the options. And sometimes you can't even speak. I would say take a second, sit back and just watch. Because that's all you can do. You can observe from the far, from near or far if you want. And just make sure that you have everything pulled in and tied in. But yeah, this is definitely not far from over. This is not even, I can't even say this is the ending, the beginning. You don't even know where it's going to come. Because something's going to be hit. It's going to be something different tomorrow and the next. But yeah, the accountability train is coming right into the station. Right as we know it. It's coming. It's coming. But definitely. Okay. Let's take it on here. Let's take it on down here to Dixieland, shall we? So, you guys know, Cowboy Carter is officially released. Beyonce released a statement over 9 days ago, just letting her fans and everybody know that Cowboy Carter is Act 2 of Renaissance, and she's releasing it this day. She said she pretty much explained the whole idea where all of this stemmed from, and she didn't say that this was, she didn't put it into it being a country album, but she put it into it being her album. So with the release of the album that was released earlier today, you could say several music insiders have said that this is pretty much her great a very good body of work, and this was supposed to be the first album off of Renaissance, but instead she put out the second part. So with this being a full length album, it's pretty much 80 minutes. That's like an hour and some change. That's not even, I could say an hour and 15. So with this album pretty much being 80 minutes of music, this is definitely a big body of work. Now, with that being said of this album, it's not per se a country album. It's definitely an album, and the album is very versatile. So you definitely have records that have a bit of hip hop, a bit of, you could say, a little twang to it. When I say twang, it's probably I forgot the terminology that they use with the Houston music. It's not Oh God, I forgot what they. I think it's called Sweet. Oh Lord. Okay, forgive me if I'm wrong for that, but they did say it when she does. The music insider did say when you get to the very last song, it has a kind of country persona. Then it has this weirdness to it, and it has this trippy beat. I was like, okay. So this is an album. So it's not per se country. Got it. They call it chopped and screwed. So with her being with that style of music on an album, you're thinking, okay, it's not so much like they like she said, it's not so much a country album, it's just a regular album. So on the music, on the 80, on the 20, it's actually, I think, 27 tracks, if I'm not mistaken. So you could definitely understand that it's a very it's gonna be a different kind of album. So with her having chopped and screwed music on it, and other, you could say, other beats, including who I said, which is up and coming artist, Post Malone, Miley Cyrus, a couple of other people I think Willie Nelson also. So yeah, so if you guys have not got the album or haven't listened to it, give a listen. And speaking of which, and this part I do approve, she did give flowers to, and I will say, she did give flowers to K Michelle. Okay, we all remember that K Michelle is an R&B artist, but she also wanted to segue herself to country music. She did specify that after. She's been specifying that for some time, and I mean, she did put out a couple of records that did, significant her countryness, because she is originally from Memphis, and she says she used to yodel. She says she'd been yodeling all her life, and she'd been wanting to go into country music, but she went and segued it to R&B. So, yeah. And she also sent flowers to Miss Mickey Guyton. Yes, she did. Now, we all know if you're not familiar or you do know Mickey Guyton, look her up. Because for me, she is exactly that female to enter into country music. But it wasn't easy for her. She was definitely sent death threats and other disparaging things for her not to get into that. And they wouldn't even play her music. And not only with country music of you finding the black persuasion in there, which is not very much, they don't even deal with females. So usually it's a broader spectrum of usually the guys that dominate the country music stations, not so much the women. And it's hard for women of the country persuasion to get into it, as you can probably hear. So for Mickey Guyton to break down the door and not being turned away by it, or just to say I give up or anything like that, for her to still kind of break down barriers and still break through the door and still get in, you damn right. For even K Michelle to even make the transition from well, I wouldn't say transition, but for her even to step into wanting to do a country album, you already know that the stakes are high. And they're not going to be acceptable, especially the fact that you are black, and more importantly, you're female. So you got two strikes against you. They're not going to be perceptive on that, because that's not the way country music was set up. Even though we remember that of the black persuasion, we definitely had Charlie Pride, and there is another female before I can say anybody else coming into the fold. She was also the first, I wouldn't say the first woman, but she was also that woman that broke it into country music as well. I forgot her name, but I will give y'all the name of her. I will give you her name on my next episode for sure. So she was also the one to break in. So that's definitely a little bit of a common knowledge that even I didn't know. I knew it was only about Charlie Pride. And that was that. But yes, when it comes into these genres of music, it's definitely, you definitely get to see who gets the bigger, the biggerness, which is usually the men. And you see, this industry has been male dominated, but you have a rush of females that pretty much have come into and have been, and you have others that had a seat at the, I wouldn't say a seat at the table. They just pretty much bum rushed and worked their way up and said, hell, here's my seat. I'm sitting. The end, you know? So, I approve of that. That's what you do. As an artist, as a person, that's what you do. You make sure that you're still doing your own thing, being humble, being hungry, but you're also letting those around you know, I respect your work just like you respect mine. I thank you for, you know, standing the test of time, but also breaking down walls like we should, because who's to say that just because I do this genre of music, I can't infuse this, and that into my music? Who can't say I can only just be in one genre? I can be in many different genres and still give good quality and body of work when I open my mouth. As artists, you expect to be innovative. You expect to be creative. You expect to not only make moves, but to have people behind you that want to see difference, that want to see change, that want to see understanding, but also still being down to earth, still being kind, still being humble. You don't get to, you know, they don't get to be like, and all that. They're just out here and doing what, and more importantly, what people don't understand, doing what you love. It never, ever ends. It's never a, oh, or it's not a, oh my God, or you're loving the job that you do. And if you love putting out records and singing and recording and going places and learning about people, but most importantly, learning yourself, and that you're able to put who you are into your album, but you're also ready for the longevity, the hard work, and everything behind it, then hey, sky's the limit. Let's go. So, you know, I'm happy. I approved. I approved that she definitely gave and took the time to give others their flowers as well. So that gives them a kind of a sense of appreciation, most definitely. But you know who's not feeling appreciated today? Yeah, Lizzo pretty much released a statement on her Instagram saying that she quits because of all the, she said that all she's trying to do is make music and make people happy and just be a little bit of change into the world. And she's just getting lied on and lied on and lied on and slandered and this and other things. Recently, Lizzo was in town in NYC yesterday for a fundraiser with not one, not two, but all three presidents. Two of those we respect and we still want back in the office. Joe Biden. We look at you sideways, bruh, sideways. But yeah, it was, he's getting fundraisers because, of course, with the presidential election looming, it's him and Trump again. Yeah, questionable, a lot of things. So, yeah, but, I wouldn't tell somebody this is what you signed up for. This is what you're supposed to know. I would say like this. You're going to deal with a lot of things back and forth, but you just have to be specified of the truth. These were serious allegations that came about you with your dancers. They pretty much have their story. You have your story, and then there's the truth. There's always three sides to a story. I mean, we're not going to sit here and go past on what we want, but, you know, we just have to just sit back and make sure that the truth comes out and what it's supposed to be. Because, yeah, Lizzo is still that artist that, you know, spoke about body positivity, about her life. She gave us a glimpse. She was winning awards upon awards. It was just a happy time. I mean, when it comes to her musicianship, she don't disappoint. She plays the flute, she twerks, she hits notes. Her music states any and everything, you know. So I say for you to just, throw in the towel. I mean, it had to be, it definitely is something serious, but I just think that you just got to take a time out for a little bit and just really refocus and shift your energy. And if people are going to talk, regardless, people are going to talk. I'm not saying you got to have tough skin. I'm not saying that you have to just, nah. You have to just do, you got to deal with it in your own way and just be ready for any and everything. And don't let that shit faze you. You rather be talked about than not talked about. When you're not being talked about, that's the time you worry. When you're being talked about, yeah, you're still relevant to certain people. You're still relevant to folks. So, I wish her well. This is just the time for her to just kind of take a time out and just kind of decompress and just, let the chips fall where they may fall, I mean, it's unfortunate. So, let's move it along, shall we? So, Quiet on the Set, we know, has been released over 2 weeks ago, exploding. And let's just say the ratings have gone up. We remember that Quiet on the Set was a two-night, four-part documentary. It just spoke about the dark side of kids' television from the early 1990s to the mid 2010s. I would say pretty much up until about 2018. We got to see pretty much the rise and fall of Dan Schneider, and we also got to hear from Nickelodeon stars off of certain shows that Dan Schneider pretty much produced and was the showrunner behind those children's shows. We also got to hear from Drake Bell the abuse that he suffered with dialect coach Brian Peck. And let's just say that blew minds. I mean, from when he opened, I mean, from him telling the story, not in much detail, but vividly, you felt how he was feeling. He still carries that to this day. And I mean, for, even for his dad, that hurts. That it was just hurtful watching his father hurt like that. And it was even worse for Drake to hear him and that, you was like, oof. It just almost brought you to tears. Like, that was hurtful, especially after the father warned the mother of this. He warned her. He warned her, told her, don't keep your eyes on him. Don't turn your eye off of him. Keep him away from that man. He said that. He even caught on quick to the buffoonery, to the bull. He caught on quick. And if it wasn't for his girlfriend's mom, who knew? Who wouldn't have known? She caught on quick. So good for her. So, with that being said, April 7th will give the part about. Okay. So as far as we know, like I said, April 7th, they will, I think on the ID channel, they will definitely air part five of this. And we're not sure. We're not we're I think the episode is called Not Being Silent. So I think Drake will probably elaborate a little bit more on pretty much the aftermath and what he's pretty much consistently doing in this present time, and pretty much kind of figuring out, after he spoke, what he's trying to do and things of that nature. And also with this documentary, there has been a lot of speaking out on certain parts, because you have now, we all know Alexa Ale Alexis Nick Nicholas. She has been sounding the alarm like crazy, but she's been speaking before. In her background on her podcast, she has the big blimp called Cyclodian. I mean, I'm telling you, she had a lot to go off of in it, you know, about her experience on the documentary. But honey, she is not taking her foot off the gas. Okay. Two other people, I forgot her name. She was from the show, the Naked Brothers band. She played one of the friends, and she had to kiss a 37-year-old man at the age of 14, 15. She spoke out against that. Another young lady also spoke against that too on another show of Nickelodeon. I think that The Haunted Hathaways. I hope I'm not mixing the two up. One of the gentlemen that used to be on Victorious, he played the DJ. He also specified that he said whatever happened was wrong. Doesn't matter. It was straight up wrong. Josh Peck, no relation to Brian Peck at Creepoid, no relation to him. He also came out with his statement earlier last week. And, you know, Drake Bell had, you know, went on his thing, like I told you guys the episode before, to tell them to kind of back off a little bit on him. I do think that, you know, the fans definitely came hard on him, because we're even going back in time a couple of years back. He also said that he didn't get along too well, but he didn't keep up with Drake in a minute. Also, he said that, you know, working with him on the show was like having a summer job. So we already think he already was smug about the situation. And I don't think if it wasn't for the fans getting in his ass about him and his little snappy comment, I don't think that he would have never even watched the documentary or knew or even addressed anything or spoke to Josh behind the scenes. Because Drake did say that Josh did talk to him behind the scenes or whatever. But I think at the end of the day, you know, whatever. But I don't think Drake has said enough. I think it's time for him to do the work. And even though he had things that happened to him after, he should know better. So we're wagging the finger on him. But, you know, it's still a hard pill to swallow on what transpired. And it's still, you know, got to make better way. Also, Madison Shipman from Game Shakers gave her experience. A couple of other... Kenan Thompson also was on the Tamron Hall show earlier this week. And he also, you know, he also specified and said that, you know, his heart goes out to, you know, the survivors of the documentary. And he was just mind blown, because he said that he had no idea himself. And he was like, well, you know, Dan wasn't too prevalent on the Keenan and Kel show. He was just, you could say his name was written across the screen. He was giving a credit only in name, nothing else. So, you know, he was just, you know, he said it was definitely unfortunate, but he said his hearts are with them, which is understandable. Also, I have to say Angelique Bates, she also has been sounding the alarm on her experience being on the show and what happened to her. And she's been saying this for a long time, and people didn't listen. But also, she was blackballed, she was called crazy, she was censored out. And I don't think, again, you can't call people, again, like I say, you can't call people crazy unless something happened to them that made them that way. And even though people are telling the truth, ringing alarms, sounding barriers, they're all positioned as they're crazy, don't believe them, or they're taking their livelihood away that they know that they're good to do it. But again, if they're saying the same thing, that meaning that their story never wavered, it's been the same thing, why would they ought to lie? Why would they have to lie? Why would they need to lie? This is their story. This is what happened. This is their truth. And if it's never, been like, oh my God, that we're hearing something different totally again. No, it's the same thing. Why would they want to lie if this is what happened to them? That's their truth. That's their story. They're going to make it out of the blue, clear blue sky? No. So no. She's been sounding the alarm about Dan Schneider for a long time. And we didn't even know. And if it wasn't for the internet, there's a lot of things we wouldn't have knew. But yeah, she's been singing. She's been definitely sounding the alarm on him for years. For years. About what happened to her. Because we never knew what happened. No, it was tight-lipped. But yeah. Because there's more. There's so much more. Leon Frierson also went on a podcast to tell even more things, that he was only paid 1/10 out of a salary. So you're telling me that you were on the show for 3 seasons. I'm thinking 24 episodes. So you're taping like 3 times a day. I don't even know the salary of episode that these kids got paid on these shows. Because remember, these shows were run from, they were run from probably the summer all the way up until the following year at the end of the year. And remember, you're probably taping a show 3 times a day. But you're giving different, and you're on a sketch, and you're on a sketch show. So that's a whole, you're doing 60 minutes. That's a, you're doing six, you're, okay. That's a 3-time-a-day show. That's a lot of material, a lot of costume, a lot of wear and tear, a lot of words, a lot of time. So in a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week lifespan, you're working exactly a lot, you're working at past the speed of sound in a month. So you're cranking out more than 60. You're cranking out a season worth of things, but you're taping these things and doing this in front of a live audience 3 times a day. And remember, all that used to come on Saturdays. So you're taping and doing things in front of a live audience. So you're pretty much pre-taping things and doing things live. You're doing this pretty much in a 24-hour span, 7 days a week, 365 days for a year. And you're telling me that out of all 3 seasons, and these are out of all 3 seasons, over maybe 28 episodes per season, you're only getting paid 1/10. That ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. And I don't know how much a child actor or actress is supposed to make. Especially if you're only there for that amount of time. But at the same time and token, regardless, you shouldn't have walked away with that fraction. Especially if you were coming back on the show season on season. And they kind of bumped you up. Because we remember Leon came on with a lot of people on all that. Well, he came up with the veterans. And as his, you could say, as his star got bigger, it's kind of like, okay, where the money reside? And then next thing we know, he's no longer there. Like, something in the milk ain't clean. So we definitely want to break down on that one. I also did get word, but I went on her panhandle. And this is Brian. This is Brian Hearn's mom, Tracy. I went on her Instagram panel because somebody had it on her someone's Instagram panel while I was checking, because I wanted to see how him and his how the mom was doing or whatever. I think his mom is like a I wouldn't say a fortune teller, but I think she does tarot readings. I'm not too certain, but he was on one of her Instagram handles and he was like, hey, you guys, da da da. He was like, well, you guys know I'm married. I'm a dad. He said, me and my mom are great. He said, you know, at the time, I really didn't understand what she was doing, but I think my mom, I love my mom, and we're good to go. And I was like, aw, because in the documentary, she did, Brian's mom did specify that, you know, due to the nature of what transpired with him being on the show for a very short, lengthy period, it kind of fractured the relationship a little bit. So, yeah, I was kind of sad about that. But, you know, now him saying all these things, I was like, okay, he gets it. She wasn't trying to hurt him. She was just protecting him, as any mom would. Especially if you know that your child is being set up for the setup. You're not going to let that go down. And at every twist and turn and stuff, I mean, she was able to protect them as much as possible, you know, but that joke about his skin tone, that wasn't cute. Mm-mm. That wasn't cute. That wasn't cute at all. So, you know, she did, I wouldn't say she did the best that she could. She did what she needed to do. And when she saw some bullshit, she saw some bullshit and she spoke on it. And I just think that these people, these producers and Dan and them ignored her and not looked at it from an angle and said, yeah, this is going to be a problem. Instead of looking at it like that, they looked at it as her being the problem and side-eyeing because she's saying too much. We can't have that up here. We want quiet. We want to just do what we want to fucking do, and that's it. And she was like, nah, you're not gonna get that power. You tried it. No, ma'am. So I'm glad that their relationship is good to go, and I hope that, you know, he does a lot more speaking and a lot more, because, you know, I mean, come on, we need to know. We would like to know further from not his trauma, but what's going on and moving forward in a productive way, you know? So, let me see. Anybody else? Anything else I remember? But yeah, so far, also the folks that written their statements, Ryder Strong and both Will Friedle, pretty much on their podcast, they said that they have no more dealings with Brian Peck anymore. They had no idea what they were writing the letters for. They were not giving any type of information or that or whatsoever. But at the time, they were grown. They were adults. So you had to know something. Joanna Kearns released a statement specifying that she did not know what was going on. She was not giving any prior knowledge. And knowing what she knows today, she would not have written it. I would have been like, what is this for? Why am I writing it? Why are you coming to me? Explain the story. Be honest. And both the married team of the Beth and her husband, Richard Carell, they also specified that they pretty much gave their statements on that they were very sorry about what, you know, transpired. And, you know, they in any shape and form that they make accountability. I mean, at the same time and token, again, you work with this man, you didn't get prior knowledge, you did not do your own knowledgement, so you can keep that. But I'm just hoping with this documentary that it just keeps putting the pulse on Nickelodeon, and not only that, expand it to Disney, because again, these are the things we grew up on, and just imagining growing up on something that you pretty much disintegrates into and it being just one big, ugly, ugly, disrespectful lie that you just can't. I'm not even going to say you can't get over it. You can't get past it. You don't even want to be bothered with it, because it's like, what the hell? So, you know, with Quiet on the Set definitely blowing up into his voluptuation and just blowing the lid off of things, it's been time. And Disney, y'all next. And let's just kind of get a settlement of the aftermath of what this is going to do from here on out, because it has to be better protection for kids. It has to be better protection for people. It has to be better protection for everybody, not only in the entertainment industry, but also in the musical industry as well. How are we going to protect children that come in this market? How are we going to see the signs? How are we going to know what's going on? What do we feel as parents and as also employees in the industry, whether we're writers, producers, stagehands, editors, you know, people that go behind the scenes and stuff like that, how are they feeling protected too? Because this man made it a nasty work environment. And then also what I'm trying to also figure out is, where's Brian Robbins and Mike Tolan? Y'all made money with this man. Why the hell are y'all not here too? So he's definitely to blame. Let's get that on Front Street. But where are the rest of them? Where the rest of them at? Where y'all at? Because it seems like y'all missing the plain action. I'm not saying that Dan is not the co-conspirator, but y'all two mofos are right behind him as well. Just saying. Okay? All of y'all turn blind eyes. Nickelodeon, shame on y'all. All of y'all. Only person who was brave enough to talk and say something was the editor behind iCarly and Virgil Fabian. And then like I said, his other people, you could say staff, which is definitely the half basis of women, which was not that much, to be honest, because it was a boys' world up in there. They spoke about against you too, because the way you treated them and their unfairness of that. And they were some damn good writers, no pun intended. So, yeah. But I'm going to end it right there for you guys. I'm going to put a pin in it. You guys stay safe. I hope you guys enjoy your Easter. I will catch y'all on the next episode. Stay safe. Later.